Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Anybody who can join us here today, including, he doesn't have his aluminum foil on, but he's looking pretty sharp here. Chris York, ladies and gentlemen. Professor Christopher York with Sacred Heart University is here to talk to us. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure.
It's good to have you here, and I want you to take a moment and tell the audience a little bit about Sacred Heart University.
Sure. Sacred Heart University is a suburban campus, a university with colleges of business and of course, undergraduate education. It has about 6,000 students. I'm from the College of Business, and I'm an assistant professor there with a bit of a specialty in teaching international business, and I'm an attorney by training. But Sacred Heart serves the whole Northeast. We have a good...
Tell us where you're located.
We're in Fairfield, Connecticut, right next to Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Which is right next to Norwalk, which is where I am, and at the Dolce Center for Leadership and Entrepreneur and Innovation.
And we try very hard to draw our students from all around this area, and I must say, we're right in your kind of demographic because... Many of our graduate students in the School of Business are themselves either currently engaged in entrepreneurial activities or intend to be, and I know that from the questions they ask me.
That's a major sea change from even 20 years ago, isn't it?
It certainly is, and corporate America is no longer viewed as a safe haven for a long-term career.
Job security, you know this. You've got almost as much gray hair as I do, Chris. Job security was always a myth. But it's official now, isn't it?
It certainly is. I think no student is going to enter into any kind of a relationship with a major corporation expecting to stay there for a full career of 20 years.
And for the Gen Xers, it's not even their nature to think that way, is it?
I think that's correct. Thank goodness they have adapted to this new reality, and they seem to be aggressively pursuing interests of their own.
Well, many of them have seen what has happened. You know, their parents lived through this transition. I mark the beginning of the transition to be 1975, when the economy, there was a pretty bad recession in the mid-70s, and corporations started realizing, you know what, we can't adopt these people forever and give them, you know, everything that they need, a Christmas wish list every, you know, for the rest of their lives. Things have to change, and things started changing, and they've been changing now for about 30 years.
They have, and this gets us into the corporate culture. The once hired, never fired is clearly out the window. Now, it's as long as you're providing us with some value added, we're going to keep you on the payroll if we can afford to.
Right. Exactly. Well, and the thing is some people might think, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds here on this, but some people might think that, you know, payroll, working for somebody is sacred, but it's humans are like, I don't want to say they're like machines because we do feel differently about them, but still, labor is labor.
Yes.
And companies have to perform profitably, or they don't stay in business to make those jobs. And the point is the younger generation gets that.
Yes, and I think if they are able to view themselves as a commodity, not to remove all humanity from discussion of any kind of business, but if they are able to view themselves as a commodity, that sets them up to then ask themselves, hey, why don't I do this for myself?
Right.
Instead of selling my labor to someone else.
Another thing that happens is they realize that they've got to add value every day. And I think that's really the essence of where we've come to now, is everybody who works for anybody realizes that they have to add value. They can't just keep a seat warm.
That's true, and that's where we get the current buzzword of skill set.
Right.
People realize that given the skill set that they come into the job force with, that may not be adequate to carry them much beyond a 2 or 3 year horizon. They've got to keep improving their skill sets.
And that's kind of where we are in the marketplace, isn't it? That's one of the challenges we have in the marketplace, is we've got so many people out there who need to upgrade their skill sets. And you're seeing that in the people who are coming back to school at Sacred Heart, aren't you?
You're right on, Jim. It's the folks who either have their own businesses but want to improve their skill sets and learn a few more management techniques.
Executive education.
Exactly. Or it's the folks who see that perhaps their job at the big corporation is providing some limited horizon for the future, and they want to be prepared.
Right.
So it's really if you will, the smart business person who has a head for business who is going to constantly be trying to improve their skill sets.
You know, and the thing is this education thing is not about young people. It's about everybody who's, if you're in business, folks, if you plan on being productive tomorrow, you need to be thinking about what education you've got to get today for tomorrow. One of my favorite stories was the great Roman philosopher Cato said he started learning Greek at the age of 85. And someone said, why are you doing this at your age? He says, it's the youngest age I have.
That's right. His horizon had not dimmed at all.
Exactly. And we've all got to feel that way, don't we?
Sure do. Now, I think you raise a great point about training, improving the management skills of the folks that are in the workforce and are older. But the other thing that the old folks, meaning anyone over 25,
right.
I take it, the old folks learn when they come back to school is they open up a whole new network for themselves.
Yeah.
And when you're an entrepreneur, there's hardly anything more important than having a network of folks you can turn to, possibly some experts
right.
that you met in school, maybe a professor who had some experience of their own building a small
and
business.
And that's the future of small business in the 21st century, Christopher, isn't it? Because the old idea of running your small business like a mom and pop backwater company, that's passé. That's not 21st century reality, is it?
Well, I think you put yourself at the mercy of the next Walmart.
That's exactly right.
And I happen to be a Walmart fan from a management standpoint, but
right.
if you're just going to have a mom and pop mentality, it doesn't take a Walmart to knock you out of the box.
Well, and you don't have to just wait on Walmart. There are people out there who are leveraging technology, who are doing that networking that you were talking about, who are getting educated, and they're coming up with the new businesses for the 21st century.
Sure, they're the ones that are going to perhaps provide us with what we call the dominant design
right.
that's going to really sweep the marketplace, take a big market share. And by golly, you'd better at least be aware that they are lurking out there.
Give us the Sacred Heart website, please.
It's www, of course, sacredheart.edu.
Sacredheart.edu. When we come back, I'm going to get Christopher to tell us what we'll find when we get there. So you'll know what to look for in a website that where they teach executive education and getting our entrepreneurs ready for the 21st century, our young entrepreneurs. 20 after, stay with us. We'll be right back with Christopher York. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Christopher York. He is a professor of business at the Sacred Heart University, which is in Fairfield, Connecticut, which is hard by to where I am in Norwalk, Connecticut, at the Dolce Norwalk Center for Leadership and Innovation. They're my hosts. I'm up here broadcasting all week, the rest of this week, talking to folks in the area, people like Christopher and others, about what they're doing in this part of the world, so that you can find out more about that and learn something from them. And Christopher, let's go back to the website a minute. Sacredheart.edu.
Right.
Now, what do we find? Can we find the business school there?
Sure. It's got a link right to each one of the colleges, and the College of Business is prominently displayed.
So the folks who are living in this area who may like to avail themselves of those services, they can go and find out about that, or if they want to send their child here.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of people are shopping around for colleges for their children. What about distance learning? Do you guys do that?
We have four separate campuses, and that's our distance learning program. But I'm glad you asked.
Well, the reason somebody in California might want to take a course.
Sure. No, we have not yet gotten into the distance learning, although clearly it's on the drawing board. But I do want to mention that we do have the only MBA program of an American business college in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg. So we're able to, in fact, we just finished teaching a course to the visiting MBAs from Luxembourg and from all over Europe,
mm-hmm.
and what a fascinating bunch they are. They bring a whole new perspective, and they're a sharp crew, and that's our global competition right
So
there.
All of you folks in Luxembourg, listening in Luxembourg, you want to make sure you pay attention to that. Chris, your forte is international business.
That's true.
Small business owners think that they're not international business people, but if they have a website, they are, aren't they?
That's what I tell my students. That's the first entry point into doing a global business. And I'd be amazed if those small businesses here in the States who do have a website have not heard from some international potential customers. And if they don't follow up on that opportunity and learn more about where those little nodes of interest lie overseas for their particular product or service, they're doing themselves a big disservice.
They shouldn't presume that people across the pond, so to speak, aren't interested in what we have to sell, should they?
Of course not.
That's a dangerous assumption, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And if they want to try and help redress our trade deficit, it's up to them to start exporting some of their good American-made products and services.
One of the things I've been encouraging my audience to do for the last 2 or 3 years is just to start the education process. Just to get started, learning about it, going to export.gov, I think it is, the Department of Commerce's website.
Well,
trade.gov, I think, is another one. DOC.gov is a lot of places. You may have some others.
Well, I'm going to give you one, Jim, that I think your listeners will appreciate because it'll link to all of those that you mentioned and many more. So let me propose that they all take a look at a website called Global Edge, GLOBALEDGE, dot MSU. It's a Michigan State University School of Business setup.
GlobalEdge.MSU.
.edu.
.edu.
So GlobalEdge.MSU.edu. It is spectacular.
What do we find when we get there?
You will find a link to virtually every conceivable site that an American might need to do business around the world, not to mention the actual nuts and bolts like trade regulations, tariff schedules, things of that sort, but also general education about a particular country and its business opportunities.
We've got 2 minutes left, Chris. You have my audience at your knee, and they're little sponges. They're waiting on this some outstanding pearls that you're going to give them. In a two-minute lecture, tell us what we need to know to get started as an international business person.
I think you do need to get your feet wet by having a website that is going to provide a good, solid English description of your product or service. That's going to become available around the world, as we all know.
English is the international business of language of business, isn't it?
That's correct. Now, once you start getting one or two orders or inquiries from a particular point overseas, that is your starting point.
Right.
That's going to be the nexus of your developing global business.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do you want to satisfy that customer in a normal good business way, using all the marketing techniques you've learned to do be a success here in the States, but you also want to try and use that customer as a lever to gain more customers within that marketplace. And then you're off and running. Once you find that your volume of business has gotten to the point where you might need to hire an extra hand to help you out on shipping and things, then you want to consider whether or not it makes sense to inquire about having a broker or an agent in those marketplaces that where you have developed a demand for your services. Once you do that, you're really on the road, and then you can proceed to various other possible involvement in that local marketplace and expand from there.
Christopher, this has been exciting for me. You've got a lot of things to tell us that we haven't gotten out of you yet. And so I'd like to ask you to consider being a member of our Brain Trust and coming back on the show another time.
Jim, it would be my pleasure. I thank you very much.
Well, it's been a lot of fun today. Give us the website one more time.
Sacredheart.edu.
Folks, I encourage you to check that out. Christopher, good job today. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. We'll get you back again real soon. We'll talk some more about educating our young people and international business. That's an area that I'd really like to focus on. Thanks. Christopher York, ladies and gentlemen, with Sacred.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.